This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Did you feel like you held the ball too long? Do you need to get rid of it sooner sometimes and maybe just take the sack? What's the mentality there?
Yeah, I think there's definitely points where I feel like I gotta get the ball out, especially in scenarios we got guys that are running routes and looking for the ball early. I gotta do my part of getting the ball out in quick game and not holding on to the ball and putting those guys up front in a bad deal when they think the ball's coming out quick and it doesn't. So gotta do my part.
That was Drake May detailing holding on to the football, a couple fumbles. And if you were active on social media last night or this morning, you saw David Andrews describing some of that, kind of defending the offensive line. There was at least one play that both tackles were cutting the edge guys, which means the ball's supposed to get out quickly. And if it doesn't get out quickly, well, we're going to have a problem. And you did have some problems. So we've spent, Fitzy, 2.5 hours or so very praiseful of the Patriots. A lot of good things. A lot of plays were made by the defense. A lot of plays were made by the offense. The Henry throw, Ramondre, different things. But there were some things that were less than ideal, and they went just beyond the turnovers. What led to some of the turnovers? The offensive line last night, Fitzy, we need to get into it.
Yeah, where would you power rank the issues that they faced last night in terms of inefficiency or the dangers of what may ultimately lead to their potential postseason downfall? Because I hate to say it, but I think the offensive line was the clear number one.
It's won by a mile. It's not even close, whatever second. Turnovers are obvious. That's for everybody. That's a thing.
But a lot of times they come from offensive line issues.
Yep. That's the bleep that'll get you beat. It didn't get you beat yesterday, but that was some bleep. And it's the left side of the line. Suddenly, it's the weirdest thing. This goes into my whole question I asked you earlier about sort of the evolution of this team. And in some ways, it feels like we're almost back to the early season, week one, and the expectations. We expected there'd be some struggles on the left side, correct? Because you're starting two rookie offensive linemen on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe Ted Johnson said something to the effect of feast. That's what he would do as a defensive player if he saw a rookie left guard and a rookie left tackle. But no one's really feasted all that well off that group this year.
Myles Garrett had a snack.
Well, Myles Garrett just feasts on everybody, and he feasted on Will Campbell. But I'm talking about teams. Last night, the Chargers went at that left side. Jared Wilson was bad. Will Campbell was bad. I don't care what you read on PFF. You can take those grades and do whatever the bleep you want with them.
ML Football just said Will Campbell had the greatest rookie left tackle start.
Does that not prove people don't watch games? Like, if you want to tell me Will Campbell had a great game last night, you didn't watch the game, or you don't know how to watch the game. As the young people would say, you don't know ball, because they weren't good. They looked like rookies. Somehow in game 18, they looked like they were in game 1. So my question is, what's that all about? Is that just facing Jesse Minter, the scheme, Khalil Mack, who's still got maybe more left in the tank than we expected when he's bull rushing Will Campbell? Or is that a concern moving forward? Because when we thought the line was pretty good, we were worried about the Texans, right? Now we're coming off the worst performance we've seen by that duo in a long time, maybe all season. What do we make of that?
There's reason to be concerned. I don't believe this is just anomalous to, well, Jared Wilson was in the protocol and Will Campbell's coming back off the MCL. Like, they may have problems with these bull rushers, especially guys that have both the savvy and the speed and ultimately the strength to overwhelm them at the line of scrimmage and at the point of contact. And if you think that Khalil Mack and Tyr Tart and company from the Chargers were going to be an issue, again, look, either one, it could be a pick-your-poison type of scenario, because if T.J. Watt and Highsmith are well enough, then guess what? The Steelers could present a whole host of problems all over again if they win tonight, pull off the upset. And if, as most people believe, the Texans win tonight, then Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, you start the doomsday clock for how you figure out a way to slow those guys down next Sunday.
Yeah, three of the four teams you could end up playing, if it's the Steelers, if it's the Texans, or if it's the Broncos in the AFC Championship game, are going to get after it. And they're going to watch that tape from last night from the Chargers and be like, oh, we can do that and then some. We're better than them at that. So that is something that they're going to have to figure out. And you mentioned it earlier. Doug Marrone is at the center of it because I didn't think it was just physical. There were times where they looked a little confused and discombobulated.
They looked clunky.
Clunky, good word. And we haven't seen a lot of that. We've been talking all year about Doug Marrone maybe not getting enough credit for what he's done with all these new starters and the two young guys on one side. Last night, they looked like a problem, and they were taken advantage of at times. But I will say, that's an outlier, right? They've played a full season. Now, they haven't always been out there together because of injuries and different things, but they've played a full season, and this was the first time it really felt like they were a problem. They were something that needed addressing. There were one-offs, and I guess you're right, the fact that you gave up all those sacks to Myles Garrett, but you were able to pull away in that game. Last night, it felt like your inability to be stout on the left side was a reason you could have lost that game. Yes, Dan Ball.
So, question for you both. Your starting left guard next week is blank.
That's not a description. You want a name.
Right? That was a fill in the blank at the end of
quite
the sentence.
Honestly,
yeah.
Right now, 6 days out, for me, it's Ben Brown.
Big old Ben Brown. I'm going to go with the Ivan Fears used to say you dance with the one that you brung or you brung you there or something like that. You've decided Jared Wilson's your starting left guard, right, for the most part this season. When healthy, Jared Wilson has been your starting left guard. I don't like changing the mac and cheese. That feels like desperation to me. You've decided that your best starting left side is Jared Wilson and Will Campbell. So I would start Jared Wilson at left guard next to Will Campbell, and I would coach them up, and I would ask them to be athletic and cohesive and all of those things they're supposed to be.
You can ask a lot of people to be a lot of things they wish they could be, but if for some reason he's a measure slow, he's tired because it's a longer season than he's ever played, given that he's a rookie as well.
Did you see how quick he looked on that fumble recovery after he let up the
goody.
Strip sack?
Yeah, you know what had to happen? Someone had to fumble for him to have to make the one play that you remarked on in a positive capacity. Yeah, Ben Brown's been fine this year whenever he's had to sub in on the line. So right now, to me, Dan Ball, I am pulling the trigger, and I'm just saying, Jared Wilson, you have had an excellent rookie year. There's a lot to build off, be it at guard, center, or wherever next year. However, we're going to go with the healthier option right now that doesn't have concussion issues, knee issues, any issues, Ben Brown.
Yeah, I'll preface this by saying this is probably an excuse, not even might be, but is there anything to a rust factor here? The fact that he missed the final 2 weeks of the regular season, only very recently got out of the non-contact jersey, anything to that?
Sure.
Potentially?
Yes.
Could that factor for Jared Wilson have simply been paired with a subpar Will Campbell performance, and that's what we saw?
Yes, I absolutely think, especially for a guy, if you remember the story is 11 career starts at Georgia, I believe. Like, this is a guy that hasn't played a ton of football.
Play at left guard at all. He was only
right.
A center there.
So it's not like the old, it's like riding a bike. I could do this in my sleep. I don't need to.
Still figuring it out.
Maybe there is something to that. Yeah. That's an optimistic view, and that if he's healthy and he's back out there, I mean, you people are benching him, but I'm putting him back out there. And if he's back out there next week, you string two games together, maybe he shows an improvement in his performance because of it.
Yeah, and then after Will Anderson gets his fourth sack and the Patriots are sitting home next Monday, you have all the time in the world to coach him up for next year.
Well, I will be able to, adjust on the fly, and there's no saying I can't bench him in the first quarter if things are going sideways.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm starting the game with Jared Wilson. I may not finish the game with Wilson if it looked
like this week. You're like an Alex Cora postseason quick hook ready to go. You give up two runs and you might be out after two and a third kind of thing. No, I like that idea. I don't love the idea of benching him, but I will say this falls in line with one of the things we've talked a lot about. If they do X, whatever X is, start Ben Brown, start Jared Wilson, prepare to pull him, move Ben Brown in, whatever, don't we give them the benefit of the doubt? Because everything they've done in that way, that nature, has worked out all year.
Most everything has kind of worked out in their favor.
I'll trust them to make the right decision there. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Josh in New Hampshire. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Good,
yeah,
buddy.
So I just wanted to call. I don't even know where to start or how good this feels with the way things are going this year, you know, with Vrabel, Drake May, obviously, Josh McDaniels, the whole coaching staff and all the players buying in. But I mean, I real quick before my point, I remember the days of you and Mutt yelling at each other hard, and I remember the AAF days with you, awesome. Fitzy, and I'm curious if you've heard or have an opinion on Slash the Snake Pit's second record, but the point that I was calling to make was you guys were filling in years ago, and now come to think of it, I think it was the last time we were going to playoffs with Mac Jones, and there was a very special person who randomly called. I don't know if you guys thought you were getting punked, but it was the Portuguese pride of Hudson, Mass, Nuno Betancourt.
Yes, I remember that very well.
Extreme.
That was, and they're recording a new record right now. So the reason I was calling was if anybody in your neck of the woods, Andy, or somebody listening right now has a way to get a hold of old Nuno, I'd like to see if he would call in and give his opinion on this new look, Pats.
Okay, that was a interesting call, Josh. I do remember it vaguely. Not really my world. I know
it was Stiz a Friday, was Andy. So it was a couple years ago, and I had heard he was a big Boston sports fan and an EEI listener. And I was filling in I think Ordway was out. It was me and Fourier and somebody. And all of a sudden, it came up on the call screen, and I was like, "Wait a second, is this really?" And it was. It was the lead guitarist. From the front man from the Legend of Extreme, the Boston rock group, and he called in one day and we just talked sport. He had zero interest in talking music. He's a Zach hardcore sports fan and just wanted to talk football and baseball for 15 minutes. It was awesome.
Well, if he's a hardcore Patriots fan, not only will he enjoy what Zach hardcore did last night, but the special teams. We need to acknowledge Jeremy Springer and his crew. We talked to him on Friday. He was all amped up. He was trying to get the crowd all amped up. Well, his guys went out and they did the deed. They were good enough to win that game almost without the offense. Borregales kicked the ball well. So we need to praise the special teams that was against the Chargers and wonder what more you can get out of the third phase. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Massachusetts winters don't leave room for mistakes, especially when it comes to your heat. I'm Scott McFarland, and at McFarland Energy, my family has been keeping homes warm for over 80 years with dependable home heating oil delivery.